What's going down, everybody? Welcome back to another, man, who knew it was going to be so soon after our last one, man. We were just here a couple weeks ago talking Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, but we're back once again now talking about Volume 10 of a whole nother franchise. We talking Fast X, baby. That's right. This weekend, it just came out, the 10th installment of the Fast Saga, and we are going to talk about it. So welcome to the show. It is Am I Still on the Air? The Fast X spoiler review. I am Don Mega, joined with Friggins and Peeps. What's going down, guys?
Hey, not much, man. Ready to, you know, put it into gear and hit the nitro and talk all the crazy, super fast analogies I could think of in a quick second.
Me too.
Peeps is so thrilled to be here.
Vroom, vroom. No, yeah. Man, I like, in all he's honesty, ready. Man, I am super stoked. I have a lot of feelings about this movie. And it's not like a negative thing. I have a lot of things to say about this movie. So I am glad that we are here to do this, because I'm curious how you guys feel about those same things.
Should be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Welcome once again. If you're just tuning in, this is a spoiler review. So if you haven't seen it yet, which probably a lot of you haven't, just came out yesterday. So we are broadcasting live here on this Saturday, May the 20th. So if you didn't see it on the preview night, or you didn't see it yesterday or maybe earlier today, come back, bookmark this, and come back later and check it out for sure when you've seen the movie. Or maybe you just want to hear what we thought to decide if you want to go see this movie or not. Because even with spoilers, you know, I think you could still maybe gauge, you know, what you want to see. It might not deter you from actually going to watch this movie, or maybe some people's thoughts will deter you from going to watch this movie. But we're going to talk about it. Did there. No pun intended. No pun intended. But we are broadcasting live on the YouTube channel right now. So thank you to those of you watching or watching later. And this will also be up on the podcast feed later. So for those of you that like to listen to audio rather than video, either way, two formats are going to be posted for you guys. So, man. All right, let's get on into gear, as Friggin said, and we're going to break this one down here once again for Fast X. So, guys, the 10th installment, man. So, this franchise, over 20 years old, and I got a lot of love for this franchise. If you go back many, many, many moons ago, there is an Am I Still on here on the Air here. God, I don't even remember when, probably 7-8 years ago, with me and Geeky Pat actually doing the Fast kind of, we went through each film kind of talking about, you know, the franchise as a whole right before one of the other ones came out, probably 6 or 7 at the time. I can't even remember, it was so long ago, but it was a lot of fun breaking that one down. It's actually one of the highest listened to episodes that we've ever had, and it was a lot of fun because we typically don't sit and kind of break down a franchise as a whole. We do one movie at a time, so kind of anxious here to talk about Fast X, man, because it's been a journey. Like we said, man, this is a crazy, crazy franchise. We're going to take you on a little journey here, you know, like we said, over 20 years ago with the first movie, The Fast and Furious, which came out. And, you know, it was just this little street racer film. And we had these guys, we had kind of a, you know, a lot of people like to point to Point Break as kind of like an inspiration, right? You got Paul Walker's character as Brian O'Connor. He's an undercover cop getting in with Vin and the gang, trying to bust them for stealing VCRs off trucks. You know, like that's how far we've come, right? And it was a massive hit. And then they get ready to do a sequel, and Vin Diesel's like, give me the money, son. And they're like, yo, we ain't paying you like $30 million to do this movie. And he bounced out. So we got Too Fast, Too Furious, with Paul Walker returning, but this time with Ludacris and Tyrese.
Too Fast.
So Too Fast, Too Furious. Too Fast for y'all, man. which is funny now, again, looking forward to where the franchise has gone, that you know, Ludacris's character from Too Fast, Too Furious is now like the smartest tech genius in the world, and I love it.
So, second smartest now, thanks to this movie. So
there you go. Man, we've come a long way, man. And then we go to the third part where nobody wanted to return, and we got Tokyo Drift, right? And it was a complete spinoff movie. We're introduced to Han in that film.
Bow Wow was really cool, right?
Lil Bow Wow, yes, yes. And I forget the guy's name, the main character. I always space his name. in the third one, who really gets the shit end of the stick in this family because he is only popped up in very small cameos in the last couple films. He wasn't even in this one, so we'll see if they bring him into 11 when because he's owed his due for a full movie ride with these guys. I don't know why he never is, right? TV show. He's on one of those CSI.
That's true.
On the, NCIS, I think. So maybe it's a scheduling conflict all the time with him, but we'll see. But yeah, we had Tokyo Drift, which at the end had a little cameo from Vin Diesel pulling up, like, yo, I'm here because of Han. This is my buddy, right? We're going to race. And then part four, which went to Fast and Furious. We dropped the and we just went to Fast and Furious, right? Which was basically reuniting all the characters, right? Brian's back, Letty's back, Mia's back, everybody's back. And it was awesome, man. That was kind of the turn of the franchise, right? We started to step things up. Action started to get a little bit grittier. Wasn't so much about racing. But it's still, it was a good blend of those original movies and then kind of where we were heading. So a really good movie there, and introduced Giselle, which was Gal Gadot's character. And we started kind of growing the team, right? Han was in this movie. And then people were like, how the fuck is Han in this movie when he died in Tokyo Drift, right? We'll get to that later. And so that's part four. Then we get to Fast Five, right? Which a lot of people love. This is where the franchise really skyrocketed. And of course, Dwayne The Rock Johnson comes into this one as well. And we are in a battle of this is Brazil. And we come in, right? And I love Fast Five. And all hell breaks loose. And then we get Furious Six. This is where Luke Evans comes in as one of the Shaw brothers. He's the main villain. We find out Letty is alive after she died in part four. And then so, but she has amnesia and we don't know what's going on. And then basically she gets brought back into the fold. Follow along, peeps. I know you're along for the ride.
I'm trying.
And then, and then we lose Giselle in Furious Six, right? This is, we have the, never, ever. And this is where we have the 20-minute airplane ride down the strip and the longest strip on any airport ever. But an amazing action scene. I actually caught it on TV earlier today and I was like, oh, I love it. Like it just goes on and on and on. And I love because at the end of that scene, like when the plane finally blows up and stops, it's like the end of the, it's at the end of the road right there. Like the big X's and the signs are there and you can't go any further. So just in time. But we lose Giselle there. Han says, I got to get out of here. He goes back to Tokyo. And wow, we get a scene, an after credit scene from Tokyo Drift where Han dies in that movie. But this time we find out that Deckard Shaw is the one that drove the car into him and killed him. And that, of course, is Jason Statham coming into the fold. So a real nice kind of this is the first time we see the kind of the superimposing of a character into an older scene, right? Explaining why Han's alive now in 4, 5, and 6, right? Because Tokyo Drift has not happened yet. So then that takes place in between 6 and 7. Furious 7 comes out. Jason Statham is the bad guy in this movie now, getting revenge for his brother, Luke Evans, like we talked about, right? Who technically isn't dead, but he's pretty fucked up. He's in a coma. He ain't looking too good, but we never really see him again. Maybe he'll be in the next one. But then Furious 7, man, this was also where, unfortunately, Paul Walker passed away. While filming this movie, they had to finish it without him, using his brother as kind of a stunt double, and they did some CGI stuff. And this is where the story kind of writes him out, you know, at the end where it's like, okay, things are getting too crazy. He needs to settle down with Mia and the fam, get off the grid, and we say goodbye, right? The beautiful ending of Furious 7 of the cars going down separate roads as we say goodbye, right? Then we go to the fate of the Furious, which is part 8 here, where we're introduced to Cypher, which is Charlize Theron's character, and she blackmails Dom to basically go against the team, right? And you're thinking the whole movie that he's turned bad, but you know he's not bad because it's all about family. He never turns back on the family. And, you know, so then we find out that, you know, he's got the cop from the other movies hostage who has now had his child. So now we got to be careful there, right? Because she don't want to lose his child, don't want to lose his girl. He's got it, so he's got to do whatever Cypher says, right? Crazy ass movie, man. Really balls to the wall in this one right here. And then we go to F9 a couple years ago, which brought in John Cena as Jacob Toretto, which was the long lost brother that we never knew from the other 8 movies. Never ever heard a mention of another brother, but we got another brother. But they tell a little backstory about how, you know, he went against the family and then he lost the race and he had to kind of go away and was never to return. But a lot of twists and turns. Charlize Theron comes back, and of course, by the end of the movie, Jacob turns good, and we're off to the races, right? And then here we are, Fast X, 10 films in. This now looking to be part one of possibly a three-part movie, which is kind of crazy. They say this is the start of the end of the road, right? Because originally when they announced 10, they said it was going to be the last film in the main core franchise. Because, of course, they're looking at doing spinoffs. We got Hobbs and Shaw a couple years back with The Rock and Jason Statham. And they said they wanted to do more spinoffs, maybe with the girls, maybe with some of the other side characters. Who knows what they're going to do, because we've only had Hobbs and Shaw. But this was going to be the end of the main course of all the family together as a team. And then it was supposed to be a two-parter, right? They wanted this to be their Infinity War and Endgame, baby. And but then Vin Diesel, a couple days ago on the red carpet for the premiere, they're like, yo, this is the end? And he's like, well, the studio saw the movie, and they're asking for a third part now. So who knows? Nothing official yet from Universal Studios. Maybe we'll get a part three, but it looks like we are definitely going to get Fast X part two. The unfortunate part is that that will not be released until 2025, which really pisses me off, because this movie ends on a cliffhanger, and you don't do that unless you got the other movie in the can, you shot back to back, and you're ready to release the next film, right? Yep. So bummer there. I'm sure we'll talk about it. And then, yeah, so here's where we let off. Some change in directors here. Louis Leterrier stepped in as the director for this one here. Some drama when they started making this film. They were 2 weeks into production, and Justin Lin dropped out and was basically like, for my mental health, I got to get the fuck out of here. And he left, and we were like, whoa, what the hell is up with that, right? Because we've heard a lot of things. This is why The Rock said he was leaving the franchise, because it's just chaos on set, and Vin gets to do whatever Vin wants to do, and it's just too much for him, right? Even though the rest of the cast seems very tight, very bonded, and never seem to have any trouble, so... who knows what the true story is there, but it sounds like Louis stepped in. He knocked it right into the movie. He took whatever everybody else wrote and directed it, and he had a good time, and they're bringing him back for the next film. So good on them. And here we are, guys. So we all saw it on the preview night. I want to start with the journey, right? We just kind of talked the journey of 10 films. Where is your guys' head? Because I honestly cannot remember. It's been a long time since we talked about Fast and Furious. Where is your head through this franchise? Was there ever, were you ever fully in and then kind of lost it and took a step back? Were you always in? Were you always out? Were you out and then got in? Who knows, man? We got 10 films that could have took you on a lot of different rides. So, Friggins, I'll start with you, kind of like, just overall, kind of where were you at with the Fast franchise?
So, I mean, obviously, starting out when it first came out, I was like super into it. Me and my friends were talking about like ricing up our cars and getting all the wings and kits and paint jobs. I loved it. I thought the first one was absolutely fun. I remember seeing it multiple times in theater. Then going to see the second one, absolutely hating it. Completely pulled me out of the franchise. The third one, again, like no main characters, as you said before. I didn't even see it in the theater. I didn't see it until it was like on DVD. And then I actually ended up liking it. So same with the fourth, didn't see that one. Saw that one on DVD. And finally, when the fifth one came out and seeing The Rock kind of join the team, I thought, you know what, let me give this a shot. And it took me back. I had that like high of the first one again. Number five, I loved. I saw it multiple times in theater. I was like, this is fun. And then six kind of carried that torch. And then I've been on a downhill slope ever since six. So from seven, eight, nine, and then up to this one, it's just kind of been diminishing returns for me. So very much like this like roller coaster of those highs and lows. And I'm speeding down the drop right now.
Wow.
What's your journey with the Fast saga?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yes, me. Oh, hey. Mirroring what Friggin said, with the first movie, when that was released, what, 2000, 2001, something like that? Yeah. I was a 21-year-old kid, and it's loud cars and hot ladies with action. It was a really good time. And geez, like the culture that sparked, you know, and me, all of my friends, and hanging out in the parking lots with everyone's lights on, and people are kind of like dancing in the center of of the little circle of cars and all the neons that started popping up after that. It just like it was, I think, I don't want to say like some like big revolutionary movie, but it was like in terms of like culture and the young folks at that time, like it was very influential. You know, it's everybody was all about that life, Fast and Furious, Fast and Furious. And there was something about nobody returning for the second one. I mean, I think Paul Walker was there, right? But
yeah, Paul Walker, yeah.
Vin Diesel didn't. I mean, I was on such like a Vin Diesel high. There's like the Pitch Black, and I just wanted to see some Vin Diesel, and I'm like, he's not in it. Maybe there's a reason why. So I missed.
You do the pacifier.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the one I caught.
That's right. That's
I skipped fast to see the exactly. And then the third one came out, and I swear to you, it was like direct to video. Like, I feel like it was like direct to video. I don't remember, but it felt coming out to the theater.
It hit the theater. It actually made over 20 million in its debut weekend. It actually did pretty well.
And then like nobody coming back. So I missed that one too. Cause I'm like, all right, I guess they're kind of like a little bow wow. Yeah. Like, I don't think I'm in this.
He did have that Hulk car though. He did have that Hulk car.
Oh, see, if they would have had that in the trailer, I would probably have been all in. And yeah, skip until Fast 6, and I didn't watch any movie, or Fast 7, and
what?
I didn't watch any movie until that one.
Wow.
And that was DX and Friggin' saying, or DX and Geeky Pat saying, peeps, we're going to go see this movie. You want to come? I'm like, sure. What is it? Fast 7. I haven't really seen any of them. Do I need to like watch them all? Nah, you're good. Come on. And we went, and
wouldn't say that now.
Literally, yeah. I felt like they were right. Like, I jumped right in, and I got the dynamic of all the characters, and Tony Jaa was there, and I think Jason Statham was the main antagonist on that one, right?
And 7?
And, yeah. I mean, I had a good time. I was like, all right, like, this is fun. This isn't any kind of, like, big epic story, but, you know, this is fun. So then I saw 8, and I dug 8, and then, I don't know, man, something about 9... I never watched 9. I skipped that one
too. You didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it, no.
Have you still not gone back and watched 5 or 6?
No, I have not.
Jeez.
Oh,
come on.
All right, everybody.
I know, and that's what you guys have told me. You guys have told me that before. Like,
dude, they're like two best.
5 is the best one, is what I hear.
And he skipped the best one. Jeez.
Unfortunately. If I had known. Out of sight, out of mind. I just haven't thought about it. And then, you know, with The Rock saying that he's not going to be in Fast 10, it's like, I don't know. Like, do I really need to watch that movie? It's not like his character is going to have any, like, amazing growth or anything. I don't know. But I did watch a 5-minute YouTube of everything you need to know about Fast 9. And it was pretty accurate. Dom had a brother that was a bad guy, but there was a misunderstanding, and now they're good. And yeah, so yeah, that was my experience. I like the series, but I'm just not that into cars. I think that's the thing. Mm. I don't care about cars.
Like, I'm not.
Friggin's in the movie.
I love cars.
Friggin's in the movie is like, oh, that's a 6182. Yeah, but it's not as good as the 8140. And then, oh, I hate the Charger, old Chargers. I don't know what you're talking about, but Friggin's has a straight up passion for which Charger is the best Charger. I don't know. Apparently there's a good and bad Charger. Things I don't care.
We're all
about,
good for Dominic Toretto.
Yeah, apparently.
Right. So, yeah. Challenger. Wow. Did I say it right? Was it Challenger?
It was Chargers.
It's a Charger.
Okay. Yeah. You were good.
But, yeah, man. Sorry.
Wow. I'm dumbfounded. I can't believe we've skipped 5, 6, and 9. So let me ask you. So what made you skip 9 if you came out of 7 and 8 really liking it and enjoying it? Like, what at that point, why weren't you in to be like, yo, I gotta see 9? Like, these last two have been great.
I think it's because every movie, it's like they try to kind of outdo themselves. And I think it was John Cena. Yes. It's nothing against John Cena. I think John Cena is great. And I just like, wow, like, when is it going to be enough? Like, is the next one going to be like a CGI like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like when can't we just get what we have and then just enjoy that. Like, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy coming out with a new, I don't know, like having like a big Hollywood person like in the next movie. I don't know. It just seemed like, it felt like it was trying to be way too big. And I think there was like some parts of the trailer, I'm like, are they racing in space now? Is there going to be like space cones that they're going to have to, I don't know. It just seemed space a bit cones. Over the top, which isn't a bad thing.
It didn't happen.
That's what the Fast franchise is, but
never happened.
There was, and just like this one, like I saw it in the trailer with this one, when I saw the helicopters connected to the car and he's controlling the helicopters, I'm like, I'm pretty sure the helicopter, like two helicopters, one car, I don't think it's that strong. I don't know.
Not it's flooring just, it and with Nos.
Yeah, when you add the modifications down that he had on people, let me tell you, if you put the whatever carburetor with the
exactly. Tell him that's not the farthest fetch thing we've seen.
Okay. He didn't have a problem with the gun car though.
The cannon car?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I just think at the time, like, there were just too many big sequel franchises. Like, I'm all cut up now, but same thing with the Mission Impossibles. Like, there was always a new Mission Impossible, and every time there was a new one, I'm like, well, I haven't seen the last one. I really didn't care to see the last one. I don't really care to see the last one to see this one that I don't really care to see. And yeah, but I am caught up on those, so
okay,
I'll be good to go later. With
you still haven't watched 5 or 6 though.
I'm not caught up. I'm saying in Mission Impossible.
You're caught up on Mission Impossible. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought that's what we were talking about today. My bad.
Yeah. Dead Reckoning ain't out yet. Another part one of a two-part movie. So
yeah.
I don't know what this deal is all of a sudden, but I don't like it.
Me nuts.
But no, I mean, Fast. Dead Reckoning Part 2 will be out next summer. So
of course, it can make sense, right? Like the book movies, they did that. Like when you have a Harry Potter and then like, oh man, like, people love this series, this franchise. Like, how can we milk this a little bit more? Well, it's a book, and I guess we can put a lot more from the book into the movies. Let's make two parts. Didn't Harry Potter start with that part one of 7 thing?
And I then think like just following each book, yeah, like book
the last
one,
movie
book
they did, they split into two. The last Hunger Games, they split into two. They always do.
That's
with
what
the last
I'm saying,
one, just to try to milk it a little bit more.
Yeah, splitting a sequel into a two part sequel kind of thing. Yeah.
But this doesn't have a book to outline, and so you're not necessarily following a story, and that's what makes this worse. Is that I don't need, like, don't be lazy, don't leave on such a cliffhanger where you're in the middle of a story. Like, there was so much that could be chopped up and maybe pulled out or whatever, and you can kind of tell a story that has a beginning, middle, and end, and leave a cliffhanger to want more for the future without necessarily stopping it right in the middle. And that's one of the things that I hate.
See, I don't agree with that, like, at all, because this is the end. This is the last movie, and it's just so big of a story. They got to split it into a couple films, right? So I didn't mind the cliffhanger ending at all, because, I mean, think about Infinity War, right? Everybody gets dusted, and the movie's over. Like, we got to wait now for Endgame to find out.
That was an ending.
That was the point, and then we get the 5-year gap in between, and so like that's kind of like here. I feel like it was lazy in the sense of like we're building all this up, and now we're just stopping in the middle because we want to like make money.
Because we're gonna pick up with Toretto or Dom like and the son still at the bottom of the dam.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
it's literally going. Yeah,
but that goes back. So it's like we were talking about. That's what. Okay, sorry. Maybe Infinity War Endgame is not the best example of that, but I still agree that it left off. It's still a cliffhanger ending to me. Everybody's dusted. Like, we got to bring them back. So you got to know there's a part two, right?
Right.
So yes, and remember when Kevin Feige first announced the slate, it was Infinity War part one and part two, and they changed it, right? So they probably figured that out and said, we got two kind of stories we're going to tell, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, again, going back to your Harry Potter, to Hunger Games, those movies ended on a cliffhanger, and you had to wait for the next movie.
That's true.
Matrix Reloaded ended on a cliffhanger. You had to wait right. to Revolutions and to pick up too. On part three, right? Yes, because they suck. Because in the moment, you're like, fuck, I didn't get the end of the movie.
Exactly.
You know, so like, I get it, but I also get it in this film. Like, my problem was what we talked about earlier, that we're not getting part two next summer. They didn't film these back to back to where, okay, cool, this is where we're ending, and next summer you're going to get the conclusion. I got to wait 2 years now to pick back up to that dam and wonder what's going to happen next, right?
Can you imagine if they didn't? Like, if the movie just didn't do that well?
we're done.
Yeah,
that's why I don't know if they're gonna do a third one, like how now all of a sudden he's trying to say it could be a trilogy. I don't know if it's gonna be a trilogy, right? Like, that's Vin spitting Vin's thing, and I think the studio probably was gonna wait to see that box office first. Part two is guaranteed. That is guaranteed. They've already signed everybody on, the director's signed, the script is being written, it's done. Like, so I have no doubt, even if this one bombed, they have made billions of dollars for this company with this franchise. They're going to make part two and end this thing. They deserve that. And these movies are also very, very big overseas. So even if it bombs here, the movie's already made $200 million overseas. Like, it's going to make its money because it's a big international franchise.
I have a theory about the third one, but I'm actually going to hold off and I'm going to put a cliffhanger here and make you guys wait until we talk about something later before I tell you what my theory is.
For He's like, I'm going to get back to that when we do the Flash review.
That's what I was going to say. You got to wait.
It won't even be on this review. It'll be another one.
Yep.
Oh, man. Okay. So we're here. We're Fast X. Like I said, 10th film. Yeah. We kick things off. Like, you know, the fam's always doing fam things. And they go on a mission to Rome, and then let's go back. So, yeah, the movie actually goes back to, once again, we talked about it with Tokyo Drift, with Jason Statham being kind of superimposed into Tokyo Drift. They do that here where we go back to Fast Five, right? The movie starts in Brazil. We go back 10 years. We see the heist with the safe, all the big ending of Fast Five. But this time we find out that the main villain from Five, his son, is Dante, played by Jason Momoa, right? And I like the way that they did that. They used all the footage, but then they had him there. They had him there in the police station. He was there driving the car, because that truck that goes down the road with the big Gatling gun on top, that is from Fast Five. So it's kind of interesting, again, to put it that Jason Momoa was the one driving the truck, right? And he gets knocked into the water, and we find out that he's out for revenge, right? They took my dad away from me. They took my family's money. I was left with nothing and had to kind of come up on my own, right? And then we fast forward and we find out that the team's going to Rome for this mission, but it's all a setup, it's all a trap, and it's Jason Momoa coming after Dom and his family to get his revenge. And the whole movie from that point on is a cat and mouse game between different locales trying to find Dom. The whole fam gets separated. Letty ends up getting arrested and she goes away. We meet Brie Larson's character, who is Kurt Russell's daughter, Mr. Nobody from the other movies. This is his daughter. In the movie, we meet Jack Reacher over there. So nice little addition there. He's the new head of the agency, and they're stormtroopers, as I called them in that movie, because them with all their helmets just getting beat up the entire film, right? They were such stormtroopers, dude.
They were horrible.
They were terrible soldiers.
They got beat up by the hacker lady. Like, she beat a few of them up.
That was so funny, dude. Like, I looked at Geeky Pat, I was just like, dude, these guys are such stormtroopers, man. No ID, no face, no nothing, just with their solid mask on and just getting beat up the whole time. So we continue from there. Like I said, so they separate the fam kind of out into these different pockets, which I thought was really interesting, right? So, like I said, Letty gets caught, she kind of goes into this underground site. Cypher gets caught, she's there with Letty, and then you got Tyrese and Ludacris and Ramsey. They get off on their own kind of side thing where they go to Jason Statham for help with Han. And then you got Dom doing his thing. He's trying to get back to his kid, who obviously Jason Momoa is after his kid. Mia's on the run. They go after her, but then Jacob comes back, John Cena, to rescue his nephew and kind of get him back to Dom. So we have all these different kind of stories going on where everybody's kind of being attacked. The family's getting fractured. All these things are happening. The big setup in Rome has now put Dom and the whole team on the most wanted list. They think they're the ones that set everything up, right? So they're no longer good guys anymore. And then that's we're just off, man. We're off from there. Lots of twists and turns. We find out that Alan Ritchson, who we thought was bad. Then he was good. Turned out to be bad again. He was working with Momoa, which was a nice little flip back at the end there. But man, we just, you know, to the cliffhanger there, we have everything hit the fan at the end here, right? We lose Jacob. He sacrifices himself in the cannon car, blows it up, right? John Cena's dead, right? So just into the franchise in F9, he's gone. Or so we see, right? Because nobody dies in the Fast movies, right? He figured out a way, I'm sure.
Yeah, he'll be back.
We'll see.
He had another canoe inside of that car.
Exactly. Yeah. Shot it out on the end there. And then, of course, the plane goes down that has Han and Letty, or not Letty, but Han and Ramsey and Ludacris and Tyrese. They go down and blow up, but they're behind a mountain when it blows up. We don't know what happened there. And, of course, they go after Dom. Dom and the kid go off the dam and drive down into the dam. They survive it. But then we got bombs all across the dam, and the dam's about to blow up. And what's going to happen? I don't know. Fade to black. We're going to have to wait for part two on that one. And then we get what felt weird, and tell me if not, because it's not even just Giselle coming back, right? Gal Gadot's character, who, like we talked about, died in part six. We haven't seen her since. So Letty and Cypher are in Antarctica when they escape this black site prison. And they're walking and they're walking. And then a submarine emerges from the ice. And who pops out from there but Giselle, Gal Gadot's character. And then the movie ends, right? So tell me, like, did that not feel like a post-credit scene in its own right? Like, I don't understand why it was placed where it was placed. Because the movie should have ended there with Dom and the kid noticing the bombs and then boom, fade to black, right? Yes. It felt very weird to cut to that with Giselle just to have them be like, oh my God, and then done, right? And then that's the ending of the movie, credits hit, you know? So I don't understand the placement there of that scene, because you could have just done two post-credits there, had a mid-credits and a post-credits and slid that in there. I wonder what the decision was there.
I don't know. And I don't even know what their plan was. Like, is your plan just to walk home from Antarctica? Like, what are we actually doing here, girls? And it kind of seemed like that Cypher was like part of that. Like, that was her plan. She was, it was her idea.
She said, I had a plan. Yeah. She goes, I told you I had a plan.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like it's a decent way to end the movie, I guess, but I don't know. You're right, though. Like, how are you going to end on this huge cliffhanger and then
and then
go to that, and then that's another cliffhanger, and then another end credits scene that's a bit of a cliffhanger. Like, I don't know. Like, so many cliffs. I agree. It was very awkwardly placed, and I just think it's for, like, buzz. It's to get people excited. It's going to be a long time before we get another movie. How do you think she survived? Do you think she's also in on it? Is this her twin sister? Is this actually Wonder Woman? Did she cross over into the only character that could give Dom?
Should have started playing that.
Yep. Yeah, man. I don't know, Friggins, you feel any different about that?
So, to answer your question, Don, I actually feel that they probably had this as the after credit. So, like, I think the original cut probably was, you know, end of the movie is that cliffhanger with Dom and the kid, and then credits, and then you have the scene with Gal Gadot, and then you wait until the end of the credits, and then you have the last credit scene. So but probably what happens is they understand that not everyone sits through the end of the credits, and they want to push more people to know these two things have happened. So more people are willing to get the mid-credit scene, and then you start losing some. Even in Marvel movies, that is very well known to do the after credits. Like, you start seeing people leave, right? So I think it was a push. I think it's a push to get, like, you know, more people to see those two moments. So they probably just moved it earlier.
Yeah.
As far
it
as
it feels, like, weird. I don't like.
Oh
that.
Yeah.
It felt very misplaced.
You could
It was jarring because you're like, oh, the movie's over, and then it cuts back to an article, and you're like, what? Like, it just it was odd.
They could have even have done two mid-credit scenes instead of waiting till it's all the way at the end. That's happened before, so you know, I think that would have been better, but. At the end of the day, I am pissed off that they brought her back. You know, I was pissed off that they brought Han back. I love both of those characters. But the problem is, like, there are no stakes, right? Like, if everyone survives, then nothing matters. Like, and even Peeps was joking when, like, after Jacob dies, they're like, well, technically we didn't see the body, you know, like, so is, he's going to somehow come back, right?
And he was charred. Charred.
So I feel like they'll find a way to bring him back because they have to have the happy ending.
Like, other than the villains, does anyone, like, stay dead?
No. Oh, yes. There's people from the first movie, but that doesn't count.
Yeah. Characters you don't give a fuck about.
And think about it. Like, if Gal Gadot, who died in what?
Did you see her die?
So how many years in their world has it been from her death in 6 to now in 10? And how effed up is it that she let all her family believe that she was dead this whole time? They all grieved her. They all, like, cheered her at the barbecues.
But that's Han also, because Han died after 6 and didn't come back to 9. So same thing.
So, like, that shit just drives me nuts. I mean, I get why they do it. We all like the characters, but you know, come on. So,
well, I like you guys, like you said, Fred, like, maybe, like, with that whole drama with The Rock, you know, he ain't coming back. And then other drama happens with The Rock on other platforms and things that don't actually happen the way he thought. He was like, hey, think maybe
maybe I can come back. Yeah. I think one of the problems, and I will talk a little bit of a problem aspect for me, was the inclusion of so many characters. So the issue with this is every movie they've added like two or more persons to the film, and now the family just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing, right? And so we get a situation like we had here where you have to, one, split the party, and then give each person their own moments, which creates a more convoluted, complex. When Don just did the recap, I was like, holy shit, there's so much going on in this movie, even more than I kind of
realized. And, like, I left a lot out.
Exactly. And so, and that's like a frustrating aspect for me, because if we had a little less people, we could have focused more on the crew that we do have. And I think that that's where I get the idea of growing and adding new things and getting bigger actors to come and join. But I think we need to focus a little bit more and give a little bit more emotional
connection. They ever do anything by themselves? Like, it seems like they're always just with each other all the time. Like, I don't know. Every time. They're always having a barbecue every day, and then it's their next mission.
Well, we usually see them when they come together. They're like, hey, it's been a while. Like, oh, you got a new garage now, you know, or whatever. So
yeah, I think there's been several movies where we've started with them kind of off on their own, and then they have to come back because of the job, you know, or whatever. Like I said, I was just watching 6, and then right after 6 finished, 8 started. And at the beginning of 8, it's just Dom and Letty, like, in Puerto Rico, like, just them two, you know, and then Cypher shows up, and then it's like, oh, okay, we got to get the team together. We got to do this thing, right? So there have been several movies. I think at the end of 5, they all go their separate ways, and then they have to come back again. So they've tried. They've tried, but it definitely, I know what you mean. Like, it seems like they're always together, except for Brian. You know, he's always busy with the kids.
Very weird. Like, it's very, and Friggins and I were talking about this too, that I thought, and I don't know, Fred, if you want to take it, but like, what if there was like some kind of explosion, something happened in his house, and he was disfigured? It would allow for them to bring Brian back into it and just, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, plastic surgery. I want to circle, hold on, hold that thought, because I want this conversation right here, because this is a big thing I want to talk about. But before we go off, because I want to go back to the post credits and Giselle and stuff, like, real quick, because I do feel, and kind of where your head was going, Friggins, like, I think when they originally made the movie, that was the post credit scene with Giselle. Yes. Because I think the whole thing with The Rock happened very late into the game, like probably a month ago. And they were like,
right?
Would you like to do this? And he was like, sure. So I read the article with the director, because he's actually the one that went to Dwayne and was like, hey, like, I understand everything that's happened. I understand how you feel. you know, we don't have a relationship, but I would love for you to be involved, right? If we're wrapping up this storyline and we're finishing this franchise, I truly feel you're a big part of this franchise, which the director felt Gal Gadot was a big part of the franchise, and he wanted to bring her back as well, too. So he reached out to them, but then he reached out to The Rock, and The Rock was like, okay, let me think on it, right? Like, let me show me the movie. Like, I want to watch the movie first, and if I like it, then we'll see where it goes, right? So, okay. And supposedly he watched the movie and he really enjoyed it. And he was like, all right, cool. I think we could do something together. And the way that scene was shot, you could tell they probably just did it one afternoon real quick, you know, and knocked it out, right? That felt like a very late minute post-credit scene, you know, where they could just shoot that one afternoon. Oh, come meet us at this warehouse and we're good to go. So I think that bumped the other scene because, like you said, Friggins, I think that they were afraid everybody would leave and there wouldn't be an end credits or people would miss it. So they stuck it at the end and kind of shifted it for The Rock one, which, you know, again, for people watching that didn't see that scene or don't know what we're talking about, there is a mid-credit scene. We see kind of this tactical team go into the building. Mm-hmm. Everybody's walking around, running around. One guy goes into the room. Music's playing, TVs are playing, and a phone starts ringing. He picks up the phone. You hear Jason Momoa's character, and he's basically like, hey, didn't forget about you too. You know, like, Dom might have been the one to put my father on that bridge, but you were the one that put the bullet in his head, so I'm coming for you next. And the guy takes the tactical mask off, and it's The Rock, obviously Hobbs, back. He said, I'm not hard to find, you some bitch, and smashes the phone in his hands. I love it. I love that it. Hobbs always says, some bitch.
So I'm curious about that greatest. Real quick. I didn't know who put the bullet in the dude's head. Did you guys know, like, is this The Rock? Are they really doing this? Like, is that what was going on in your guys' mind?
I thought they were going there. Yeah. I didn't think they were going to show him. I thought he was going to keep the mask on, and then it was going to be like an explosion. Like, they killed Hobbs off, right? Whoa. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, this is Hobbs, and he's going to be like, I finally found you, Hobbs. And then they're like, the mask would look up and then just
boom,
you know,
that would be fucked up.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah. Damn. They're like, you don't want to come back. We'll take care of that shit.
We got you.
Yeah. But I'm not hard to find, you some bitch. So great to see him back. We all love The Rock. I mean, it's just, he's so good in this franchise, and it really did piss me off as a fan of the franchise, knowing that they were ending it. And he wasn't going to be a part of it. I felt like that was a big glaring omission with everything that happened, especially with this movie tied to Fast Five so much, because you see it in the flashbacks. That was his debut, right? You see him there. That was the first movie he was in. You see him driving the truck. You see him on the bridge. Like, he's there, and you're like, okay, so if you're going after everybody involved in this shit, how are you not going to go after Hobbs, right? And you know, Jason Statham's character goes out really quick in this movie. He's in like one scene, they do a big fight, and then he's like, I gotta go start some shit, and he takes off, right? So I'm hoping he's taking off to go hook up with Hobbs.
Hobbs and Shaw too.
So okay, we might have an internal kind of spin-off in this next one where they're off doing their Hobbs and Shaw shit. And then you got the fam over here doing their shit. So Rock's back, but he's not really back with them. Get a best of both worlds a little bit.
This is where my earlier I left you on a cliffhanger, so we're looping back. So my thought was like, when they're like,
canceled.
We're going to make an X, a Fast X2 and a Fast X3 now, right? Well, what if 2 is actually the Hobbs and Shaw part of the story? So then we see them go and say mom, and then by that ending it ties to the cliffhanger of this ending, and then the third is like everyone all together. So that's what I'm thinking is gonna happen. So you hear it here first.
not without everybody else. They're not gonna label that as Fast X part 2 when it's just Hobbs and Shaw. Like,
they could have
everybody still involved.
But
like you said, I just think it's gonna be both.
Little Bow Wow, bring him back.
Got to bring Bow Wow back. Tokyo Drift, you know, they all got to come back. All right. So I said I wanted to circle back to Brian, right? So this is to me the elephant in the room, right? So we talked about Brian O'Connor's character basically being retired in Furious 7, and they made the decision to not kill the character off, which is something I would have done, right? Like at the end of that movie, or maybe in part 8. You make the premise of the film around his death, right? Like, the bad guys are coming, and that's what happened, right? So now we're off for revenge. A piece of me wants in the next film that maybe Jason Momoa kills his character, and that's the end of that, right? Because But I feel like they'll probably go the happy ending route. They're going to do some CGI shit probably in the next one. But as a whole, this has become a problem, right? Because we finished it. We gave him a big send-off in 7. And then we have 8, 9, and 10 now. 3 movies without him. Where he is just casually always referenced as he's got the kids.
Yeah, he's doing good. Right? Yeah, he's over there.
He's always safe. And in a world where we have a thing called God's Eye that can find anyone in the motherfucking world, right? Like, you can't hide anywhere. These guards are at the door 10 seconds later. Mm-hmm. How the fuck is Brian so under the radar in this one that he's never in danger? And how is Mia always involved and not him? You know what I mean? Like, as a husband, you're gonna say like I gotta go help my brother. Okay, I'll stay here and watch the kids. Be safe, honey.
Good luck.
Like, I just don't like it. Doesn't make any sense when you've had 7 movies where it's ride or die. I've got your back, right? Bad Boys for Life. Like, it's always we're together. You know, one family. And you're telling me that with all this happening, that Brian's just cool sitting back. It is just such a storyline problem that it's never involved.
That's the thing.
It just bothers me like so much. Like, after every movie, I come out just frustrated by that because it's like I don't like just the one-off sentence of like he's got the kids, he's safe, right? And that's what happened in this one. Mia said Brian's got the kids, they're safe. Okay,
Jason Momoa seems to find
anybody he wants and can go after him. He found Cena in a fucking cave in a warehouse that was super fucking underground, and the guards were there in 2 seconds. But like, Brian somehow knows where to go and never be seen. You know, it just it creates a problem. And I get again why they did it to honor him, and he's a big part of the franchise. And you do get those moments like in Fast 9 at the end, they're like, Brian's running late to the barbecue, but he'll be here in a sec, right? And the car pulls up at the end, and you're like, oh shit, right? And it ends, and you don't see nobody, but it's kind of cool, right? The car pulls up, and you're like, hey, it's Brian. But like, it just overall, it just always leaves such a gap. And I'm really, if Momoa was so diehard on like, I'm coming after you and your family because you took mine away from me, like, how does Brian not, how is he not factored into this that he's like, somebody find me O'Connor, right? Like, he's just like, find this guy?
And him, since the two of them were like, kind of like the head of like the whole thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would, they could even add a scene, like, just like have a random scene where he's like, where the fuck is O'Connor? Like, Jason Momoa. He's like, how can you not find him?
How can you
like,
not find that. O'Connor?
Exactly. Give me that at least.
And find O'Connor.
And this is part of my issue with this movie. Like, this movie just seems like, I don't, there's a phrase for it, but it's just like an ego trip for Vin Diesel. His character is like straight up invincible. He can literally accomplish anything he wants to do, whether if he's in a car or on the ground. Like, he is capable of just changing reality to his, and everyone's so fixated on him. Cypher, you know, goes to him, and Jason Momoa wants to, you know, screw him over. And same thing with the new lead of the organization. It doesn't have a name, does it? Mr. Nobody's group.
The agency.
Okay, yeah. Agency. Like him wanting to get something over on Dom. Like, it's just all about Vin Diesel and how one day, and I told Friggins, and a lot of you may not know what I'm talking about, but this movie had a kind of started with the Logan syndrome, where it's like, my son today said that I was fearless, but he's wrong. There's one thing that I'm afraid of. It's like, okay, is this going to be the thing that we're going to be referencing the whole movie? Because I feel like it's going to be a thing we're going to be referencing the whole movie. And I don't know, it wasn't that bad. They really did.
I love that when he told his son, when his son was in Momoa's car, and he goes, remember that driving license, son? What was that final part? And this, and he jumps out the motherfucking car, and I'm like, that was not a part of
that. That was not in the lesson.
Connect that dot to be like, jump to me, son, jump to me. Remember that driving lesson?
No.
Feel it in your heart.
I'm talking about finding a line, like, not like jumping out of a car. Look,
listen, Brian, to the car. Yeah.
I did want to mention about Brian, like, real quick, because I've honestly thought, like, I could see why they don't want to kill him, because like, their friend passed away, like, and he's a critical aspect of the film. And that's cool. Like, let's have, well, that's not cool, but like, I get the reasoning behind it. That reasoning is cool. So like, I think that they should have just recast because the character is too important to the franchise to always be off. Like at the barbecue, there's two chairs open next to him, presumably Brian's and maybe their kid or whatever. So, you know, I kind of got the...
Why are their kids never around, but Dom's exactly. kid is?
And I think he was just too big of a character to leave off. They should have just recast him. They've recasted characters in movies before. We could get past that. You know?
Even think about like Black Panther, like the actor dies in real life. You know, we want to honor the character and not just recast him immediately. So they honored him in a way in the actual movie. And in the end, something happens to say that the legacy of the Black Panther will continue. And there will be another Black Panther, but they actually put it into the story as to why it's not Chadwick Boseman. And why can't they put that same kind of energy into this? Like, I'm not saying he has to be reincarnated into his son or anything, but
Lil B.
In the world of creative writing, you can do something.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, face off the shit. Hey, you know, my family keep getting shit happening. This God's eye has fucked me
going
up.
Going undercover.
I changed my face a little bit, and now I look like, you know, Ryan Reynolds or something. I don't know. Which I'm waiting for.
See, I'm not big on the idea of recasting him. Like, I feel like at this point that it's wrapping up, there's no point, right? Like, so, but a simple fix to this whole problem is to take Mia out, right? Like, if you just take Mia out, this is done, because there's nothing dragging your thought to be like, why isn't Brian here? If it was at the end of Seven, me, Mia, and the kids are going way the fuck off grid. This shit's too dangerous. Like, we're out. And it's like, okay, I respect your decision. Done. They're off. It's done. He's alive in the universe, and they're cool. And we never have to think about it. But every time Mia shows up, you're just like, where the fuck is Brian? Like, and that creates the problem, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a simple fix if they would just stop bringing Jordana Brewster back into this thing. I understood her involvement in Nine because Jacob, the brother, was the main problem, right? That was a family issue. This is our brother. I need to be here. Okay, makes sense, right? I kind of bought it in the last movie that Brian would sit back and be like, this is your family. You can go deal with this, right? Mm-hmm. But now, especially tying it to Fast Five, it don't make no goddamn sense. Like, it's got to be brought up in the next film.
I'm going to stay at the house and protect my nephew. You good? Just... not helping. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to watch the other kids. He's too busy.
Well, speaking of other characters, I did want to talk about Jason Momoa briefly, at least. I mean, I thought he brought so much energy. Okay. Oh my god! Like every time he came on screen, I was like, okay, good. Give me more Momoa, because I was struggling with a lot of some of the other stuff. I absolutely loved his like Joker-like personality, especially when Ben was like punching him in the face, and I thought, okay, here we go. Big muscle dudes, like, about to, like, fight it out, you know? And then he's just, like, laughing as he's, like, beating him up. And he's, like, spits his tooth. And he's, like, oh, you're mean or whatever, you know? Like, didn't expect Momoa to be like that at all. Especially in the beginning when he walks in, like, carrying those two dudes and just, like, drops them on the floor. And then he slashes up the one dude. So I was, like, okay, he's going to be typical big muscle guy. But he never did that again after that. Like, it was all tech or maybe,
he's, you know, psycho.
Yeah, he's just crazy. And I absolutely loved that aspect. I thought it was an unexpected twist to a character. And what was really cool is it made it feel like, you know, I like his chaotic aspect to it, because it felt like you really didn't know, like nobody was safe. He was going to go after anybody to get, you know, whatever his goal was done. And I thought it was pretty cool, too, that he stole their money to fund his plan. So that's pretty interesting little take on it as well. So I don't know. I will say it was his role, the way he characterized that character. And I would love to know if this was something that like he brought to the character. Like he's like, I want to play him like this, or is that something that was originally in the writing and like the director decision or the writer's decision, or if this was something that he brought in? But I really, really enjoyed it.
I feel this is him unscripted 100%. Like, it feels like he just rode this wave, right? Like, I was telling Geeky Pat, like, after we walked out, I said, I get this vibe after watching the movie that when they went to him and said, hey, we want you to be in Fast X as the villain, and they just said, and we want you to do whatever the fuck you want. And they didn't even give him a script. They just said, here's the story. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Figure it out. Yeah.
He just went. And he was like, cool. And he's said in interviews, like, this is the most fun he's ever had in a movie, right? This is the most fun he's ever had, like, playing a character. And you sense that, right? Like, he is the standout of this movie. There's no doubt here. Like, he's amazing in this role because, like you said, he could be super mean and menacing and take you out with no fucking problem. And then he's funny and he's, like, cracking jokes with the little kid. And then he's, you know, painting a dead guy's toenails, you know? And he's just, like, it was all over the place because he's so psycho. And the way he played it was awesome. And you got that vibe off of him. He was just having a blast. And it did come off very improv to me that it was just action, go. And he knew where he needed to go in a scene and he just took it there, you know? And so, yeah, he was amazing. And if you're going to have a villain carry on into a whole nother movie, thank God it's him. Like, he just, it was so badass. So, Peeps, what was your thought on Momoa?
Mirroring what you guys said, his portrayal of this character was absolutely hilarious. I think the majority of the time I was laughing in this movie wasn't horrible Tyrese's jokes or like corny Ludacris's like comebacks to them. Like, I'm just like, gosh, like it's not funny. It's not, like, a little humorous sometimes, but just not funny. But Momoa, yeah, man, he like definitely stole the show for me.
So stupid. Man, it's a vending machine.
Yeah, how am I gonna get a receipt? Figure it out. Yeah, man. But yeah, Momoa was great. While we're on the topic though, all those compliments you guys said, all that, agree with it. I love even the fact that he had different color painted fingernails depending on what outfit that he had. Like, it was just neat. he loved himself a lot, which was great. He was way too on everything, you know, like you said in the beginning, the movie was broken up into three parts. There's three individual stories. He is the main antagonist across all of them, and he is everywhere. Yeah. And he's
10 steps ahead of everybody.
He has thought of everything everyone has thought of before they even knew. Just like when Brie Larson started walking on the bridge with her gun right on schedule. The fuck? How did you know she was going to come from there and just walk on the bridge with the God's eye in her pocket? Like, that's pretty good. I can literally go on and on with.
Well, he knew she had God's eye because Alan Ritchson was double agent with him. Sure. So he was feeding him the knowledge.
How did he know she was going to show up on the bridge at that moment? Yeah. I don't know. And I don't need like an explanation for that.
Yeah.
I can go on and on different moments that just convenient. Seemed way too convenient for him. Like you said, how he knew where John Cena was. How did he know that where Ludacris and all them were on an airplane? Like, and he bombed the airplane, or he was planning to shoot the airplane right as it went over the bridge that they chased him towards. Like, whatever. Great, fun action movie. I'll say that. Plot. But
and super easy, barely a convenience.
There you go. Barely,
yeah, I would say this too. Like, if you're gonna go Joker, I would have liked for them to go full Joker, and I think it would have meant a little bit more if he was just a dude that just wanted to fuck over Dom because he just felt like doing it. You know, like, there's no motive. There's no reason, like, real reason. It's not like revenge on my dad kind of thing. He just did it just to want to do it. And I was thinking about that throughout the movie. I'm like, God, I'm going to fuck this movie up because I can't stop thinking about how cool that would be if he was just, why are you doing this? You know, I was bored. I don't know. It's just something. And I don't know. But John Cena, was he that silly in the first one or in the last movie, Dom?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because he was the serious bad guy. He was a special agent. He was a spy. He was badass. Like, he was never silly.
Because I loved him in this. Like, I like this version of this character. I didn't even see the last version. So I'm like, I like this guy.
He was like Ames in the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Super serious military guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but this was a little different because he had the kid with him, you know, that was his nephew. So, I mean, he was hamming it up a lot because he was with the kid, you know. So, I don't think overall he was just silly if it wasn't with the kid, because he was all badass when he came busting into the house to rescue them.
Yeah.
You know? Let me tell you, every Fast and Furious movie I look forward to seeing a Mustang. I'm like, when are they going to bring me my badass Mustang? And I think it was 6, they had like a white Mustang that got smashed. You know, Tokyo Drift had the badass Mustang at the end, so that had me really excited. So I was like looking forward to a Mustang showing up. I was not looking forward to the 5.0. I cannot stand the 5.0. I was like, come on, man.
Nolan.
But he does have a point. Back in the day, that was a popular car. I just hate it. Sorry, Pete.
Roland in my 5.0.
I thought it would have been cool to, you know, when at the end when they kind of revealed that the other guy was working for him, to maybe like create this like family of villains to say that Cypher was actually working with them. You know, that she, that whole bit in the beginning was just a, you know, it was just a lie, just a ruse to get everything started. Because again, he planned for to go in there and to screw her over and her to cobble over to Dom, because Dom wouldn't have known about this and he wouldn't have gone to Rome to stop the big trap if she didn't escape the way that she escaped. So
I kind of wanted Ames and Jason Momoa to also be brothers. Like, but then again, that kind of takes away like a family aspect, right? Because he's got to be the anti-Dom. He's no family. But I thought that would have been kind of an interesting, because when they do the recap, or not recap, but the flashback, and he's going in, and you see, now you know that it's Ames in the room, and I was like, oh shit, are they brothers? And then they weren't. But I don't know. I thought that would have been kind of cool. No.
Just kidding. I don't know. Yeah. Would have made no difference.
Yeah, I do like that they tied him back to Fast Five too, that he was just another guy that was working with the family. So but again, it's a convenience thing, right? Like, right. Like everything is always, you know, you meet these random characters and then somehow they're tied back to something else, and everybody's really good at being action heroes and spies. And it's like, you know, like everybody wouldn't be so good at it, right? And it does, as much as I love these movies, like I'm not blind enough to like really like not see these gaping, you know, holes sometimes of like
gaping
the convenience factor, right? Like one of the things that stood out to me so much is like when certain characters just appear out of nowhere, right? Like it's the whole thing, like when Helen Mirren pops up, right? Like that whole big thing had just gone down in Rome, and then she just walks up to Dom, right, like there, as the explosion has happened, and is like, oh Dom, like you should watch yourself, you know. And she's there for 2 minutes just for the cameo sake of a cameo. And then it's like, she's gone. And it's like, come on, you're telling me he called her of all the people to be like, hey, come meet me real quick. Like, you know, it feels like people just know where everybody's at all fucking times. Like they all know their little secret code. Like we know where to go. We know where to be, you know, like when Brie Larson went to that bar and then she found, you know, Vin Diesel sitting there, you know, like just people always pop up at weird times, you know, even when Cena came in and rescued the little kid and stuff, you know, it was like, oh, your dad sent me, like, when the fuck did that message happen? You know, like he was like, hey, go get my kid. He knew Mia was watching the kid. So how would he have known? Like, you know, like it's just, there's a lot of that happens in these movies. And like you said, it does get crowded because like you said, with each movie we get new characters and then they have to be in the next one, so then it's just we go from 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 and now we have to find things to do for everybody, you know. So it does get crowded at times.
And then adding Ratcatcher 2 to being the sister of Dom's other girlfriend, right? Like yeah. Like again, just adding more people, it's just that constant like let's keep throwing people at you, right.
I love her. Yeah. So like when I saw that she was in it, I'm like, I'm excited.
She did nothing in this movie, but it was just great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, okay, cool. She's like, she's gonna pop up. She's gonna do this quick race. He saved her. It is what it is. And then you find out like, oh, it's her sister. Like, and then it's just like, oh man, another connection like to this.
And I guess we're not gonna find out till in 2 years. But at that one moment, he was like, Jason Momoa's character was standing across the street from her, looking into her, but they never actually did anything with that, right? That was the last that we saw of
it. I mean, it looked like he was gonna go get her and then they didn't show what happened.
He's probably gonna show
then he teleported the next to movie.
Yeah.
She's and then he found his way to the mountain. which I thought was funny too from a convenience standpoint. So like, you got the big race at the end there, right? And then Momoa goes spinning off the road, and then Dom gets stuck on the dam, right, between the two tankers. And then Momoa just shows up at the top of the mountain like, ah, you fell into my trap. And I'm like, didn't he just spin off the road like 2 miles back? Like, how the fuck did he show up in that one spot that was the perfect overhang to the dam, right? Like, I was like, everybody gets where they need to be so fast. And yeah, that drives me a little crazy because
they're also pretty furious when off they the get
freeway. There. I didn't even understand how the Ludacris crew got in that airplane. Like, where did that airplane came from, and who gave them that airplane? They were talking Jason to
set that up for him.
Did
they? Oh, okay,
yeah, okay. Yeah. He gave him the cars, and he set up the
airplane. Then he had an airplane.
That's why they went to him.
That's right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't on his roof. Quick. I think they just went. They took the cars to the airfield and then got the plane. I think he just hooked up the ride. It wasn't. I don't think he gave him the plane. They weren't flying it.
GX, what did you think of that Pete Davidson scene?
I don't know, man. Like, I like Pete. I thought it was kind of funny. It made sense that he would have betrayed them to be like, "Yo, man, they're paying a lot of money. I'm gonna do what I gotta do." Right. My problem with that scene is I didn't understand the fucking throwing of the dust from Tyrese. Like, I don't understand
that magic. What was that?
Then when he did it the second time to Pete Davidson, it was just like, ugh, in his face. I was like, what the fuck is that? Why is he doing that? And where is this sugar coming from? I don't understand.
I have to say that one of the funniest jokes in the whole movie, though, was when, like, he slams into the coffee maker and Pete Davidson's like, I think he hit the coffee maker so hard. Now. It works now.
You guys are causing hundreds of dollars of damage.
Dozens of dollars of damage.
Yeah, and then Han eating the muffin, and then it not really going anywhere. Yeah. It just there's just a little
bit starts of a tripping, moment. But then just nothing ever goes.
Nothing anywhere. Really. Yeah.
That's a magic muffin. I won't even charge you for that.
It was just the strangest experience, and like I think like, you know, people keep asking me, like, is this movie good? And I can't say yes, but I also can't really say no because I didn't walk out, you know? Like, I did. There was literally after the very first action scene with the ball rolling through London or whatever, or Rome or whatever it was, I looked over after that scene was over, you know, Helen Mirren talks to him and it's just like you're seeing it like close out, about to go to the next cut. And I lean over to Sean and I'm like, I could leave right now. I think I'm good. But like the movie's not good, but like the experience of watching it was real. Like I had a good time. Like Peeps thought I was going to say that I absolutely love the movie because I was nonstop laughing. I was like, I probably talked more than Peeps did in the movie. And I hate when people talk, but I couldn't, like, it was this experience with like talking with him and my cousin and like the enjoyment of seeing this movie and this ridiculousness and having a shared experience of the shared eye rolls, the shared like knowing the jokes before the jokes actually came, because they were so like,
or even Sean, the moments.
Sean was quoting jokes before they like dropped them. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the moments, the action that was coming. And so like it was a good experience and I had a good time at the movie theater, but like I can't say that it was a good movie. But I also still kind of enjoyed watching. Yeah. So like, it's just this weird, like, you know, I think that's fair.
Yeah. And I think that's fair, you know, and that's coming from somebody that really does love these movies, all of them. Right. Like I can't honestly come on here and just be like, this is the greatest movie. Right. Like it, but not every movie has to be like it goes. I talk about it all the time. Like you go to the movie to just have fun, right? Like sometimes you want a certain thing out of a movie, you want a certain feeling, you want a certain vibe, whatever the case may be. But when you go into each movie, you have a different idea of where you're going for. And at this point, we're 10 movies into this franchise. You know what the fuck you're getting at this point. Like it really is. Like if you've never been a fan, you're not going to go watch this and be like, wow, man, I'm so in now. Like nothing's going to change your mind. Like if you didn't like the other 9, you're not going to like this one. But
and I wouldn't say anything happened in this movie that would make people who threw those millions of dollars before to say, oh, this movie is not, this movie doesn't give me what any of those other movies did. It follows that same formula, like what you're saying.
Exactly. Yes, we've grown to understand at this point that law of physics is out the window, that the impossible can happen, that Vin Diesel is the strongest Avenger. Like, we know what's going to happen at this point. We're just, Avenger. you know what's going to happen. He's going to be Thor. Like, it's just, it's going to happen. Like, we've been trained at this point to know what we're getting, right? That's not going to change. Like, if anything, they're going to keep one upping each other every movie to be bigger and badder, right?
Yeah.
As much as I love this shit, yes, there's eye roll moments, right? There's moments that your brain cannot just justify that just fucking happened, right? Like, you just can't do it. Like, when go back to the Rome, like in the Rome scene, like you said, with the ball, right? When he jumps the fucking thing and hits the crane and makes the crane spin and then hit the ball and knock the ball into the water, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, that was a scene where I even had to be like, come on. You can tell me he ran the thing and didn't just go plop into the water himself, that it spun the thing and he still continued to hit the
and road. And it was fine. He still drove.
Break down, dude. Yeah. These cars never break down. They just continue to drive. They're all in pieces. You know, like, it just, but it just, it makes you laugh at this point. You know, when he's on the bridge with the shootout with Momoa and he lifts the fucking car with one arm, like, he just lifts it up to block himself from the bullets. Like,
he takes two helicopters point, right? And he spins in a way to cause the helicopter to hit one car, and he spins another helicopter into another.
Yes.
Did you just hit me with a helicopter? Like,
yes, I did. You know, I watched a movie. I don't even remember what it was. And it was like super real action scene. That was like the boringest thing I ever saw. And I'm like, I was like, this is why we have the over the top like Fast and Furious action, because it's more entertaining than watching
it even goes back to like XXX. Like, XXX is like one of those movies I was seeing. Like, it's not movie in the year in terms of like great story or anything. It's just a dumb action movie that I to this day absolutely love. Like, it's a great and I say this too, but like, shut your brain off kind of movie. You know, you're going for the ride and the experience and the explosions and the one-liners and the ridiculous outfits and the
cars,
everything, and sometimes the cars, sometimes the ladies, sometimes the mans, you know, whatever's your cup of tea. Like, it's got all that kind of like high adrenaline, you know.
It's a pure shut your brain off franchise. You know, it is. I don't know how any critic goes into this thinking like, is this going to be the one? Like, it's not. Like, fucking, they know what they have now.
No, 10 it's movies not. In.
It's not. I'll tell you, it's not as a fan. Like, it's not going to be the one, right? This isn't going to make anybody's list for that. Like, you go in to shut your brain off, eat some popcorn, and just have a fun time, man. Like you said, like, can you say it's a great movie? No, you can't. Can you say, like, the acting sometimes is whatever. The dialogue sometimes is choppy. Like, the stunts are obviously so over the top that you lose reality. Things happen. But at the end of the day, you walk out and you go, fuck, that was fun, dude. Like, I had a blast with that. Like, that was just, and that's all I wanted coming out of it. Did I have a good time? I had a fucking great time. Like, and that's what I wanted to do. I will say F9, like, was the first movie I came out of and I went like, okay, like I liked it, but I didn't love it. And that was a bummer for me as a big fan of the franchise. I was looking really forward to F9. That was the one that was supposed to come out in 2020, and then COVID hit and they shot it back a whole year. So it's like, there was this big buildup for that movie. And then when it finally hit and I'm like, yeah, Cena's the bad guy, here we go. And then it was just kind of like, at the end of the day, I've still only watched that movie one time. I need to go back and watch it again now at this point. And I've never done that with any of the Fast films. I've usually watched them a couple times in the theater. Obviously, I own them all. I have the whole franchise. Like, and I've always rewatched them all. Like, I didn't even rewatch F9, like, because it just, I felt like it was a step down. And I was really hoping this was going to kind of bring things back to form. And I feel Fast X really did. Like, it was a dramatic step up from F9. So I'm left really wanting more at this point.
That makes me want to ask you, have you a desire now to go back and see this one in theater again?
I do. I would like to see this one again in the theater. I'm almost thinking, like, I kind of want to do like the 4DX thing, like with the moving seats and shit. I feel like this would be a pretty
fun one to do in that style.
I've never done one of those, and I think this might be the one to try to search that out.
I'm not going to go see it again, in case you're curious.
Yeah, yeah. If I ever watch this movie again, it will be before seeing the next one, just to jog my memory. But I doubt that I'll watch it even then. Even then, I don't think I'll probably watch it again.
Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of echoing what we've been saying. I if someone asked me, hey, should I watch this movie? I would, you know, do you like any of the other ones? And depending on how that goes, I think would be the answer to it. I haven't seen any of them that I'm like, I hate my life. Like, I just want to go home. Mm-hmm. Like, even this one, like, so many eye rolling moments of this movie, but like, yeah, let's see this too. I want to see where this goes. And yeah, I saw where it went and it didn't really go anywhere. It just left me hanging.
While we have been doing this, one of my boys has been texting me, my homie Jesus, and he's like, hey, should I go watch Fast X? And I'm nice. Like, wow. And he goes, is it, before I go, is it any good? And I went, nope, but you should go watch it anyway.
No. See, that's rude. That's rude.
I know. He's like, I'll buy a matinee.
Go watch Guardians. And then if you then have like time, then you can sneak into Fast X. You know.
Nah, man, gotta spend that money, son. We need to make the trilogy.
They'll do fine overseas.
Don't rob us. They'll
do fine overseas. They'll be good. Yeah.
Don't rob us.
Yeah, no.
No, I agree with you, peeps, though. Like, if somebody was to say, hey, should I watch this? That would be my first thing, too. Like, do you like the other ones? Yeah, I think they're pretty fun. Then go watch it, right? Like, I would totally. And like we said, in the opposite, if they were like, fuck, no, I haven't cared for the last five, then you're not going to like this one. Like, you don't go. You know, it's plain and simple. Like, that's how I feel sometimes with movies. Like, when I watch the trailer and then I see the movie and I'm like, that's pretty much what the trailer sold me. And that's how I would tell people, like, if you like the trailer, then I think you'll like the movie, you know, kind of thing. So. That's where I would leave it on this one. Like I said, I had a blast with it. I really loved it. I thought it was just action galore, and I'm an action junkie. I love action, and you know, for even as far-fetched as some of the action is, there's a lot of action in this movie, man. This movie goes. It never really slows down. Like, I don't remember the full runtime. I think it's like 215, 220 maybe. Wow. And it just goes. It just goes from the minute it starts to the end. And like, it never lets up, never takes its foot off the gas. And it just well rolls, man. So I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a return to form. I thought the new director stepping in really did a good job of capturing what the other movies set up. Like, you don't really see a style change, which I thought was really great. You don't get that very often with a director swap. And I like that, you know, he'll have more involvement in the next one. And I'm excited to have Hobbs back. I'm excited to see more Shaw, you know, I'm excited to see what the fuck would you sell? Cause you mentioned it a little bit, peeps, like, is it her twin sister? Is it somebody else? Right. Cause that was my first thought, was like, that's not her. That's her sister. Da, da, da. But I've seen plenty of articles now that are like, Giselle is back. And it seems like that's what they want to do. Right. They want to bring that character.
Was she
back
in the credits?
Now we got to understand.
Maybe she'll be an android.
I don't know. I didn't actually look at that. Yeah, she's the new prototype that the agency has built.
Yeah.
Dude, if they're going robots, like
Giselle, they could, AI, dude. They could.
Look at Idris Elba.
They had the lasers. Suit. They were doing a little something. Yeah, they Idris Elba. Her arm. Remember with the little laser? Yeah, Idris Elba was getting into some robotics. Dude,
they insert the God's eye into a character. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how she's back, baby. She's an android. I like it.
Yeah. I will say too, style. Real quick. I liked the Brazil scene, the way that they kind of started this all that up, because it felt very much like the first movie. And you know, again, people dancing, lights, and talking smack about who's going to beat who in a race, you know, and then of course it turns bombs and explosions, and I'm going to use my car to hit your car to open to tilt it to the side enough so that it hits the bomb like right where it needs to hit.
That's
so
how good Dom is, man. Come on, you know
who are you going to choose? I thought he was going to do a Batman, and I'm going to choose
save them both.
Yeah, exactly.
Do both. Why not? Yeah. Dom could do it.
He didn't want to, though. That's the thing. That's kind of fucked
up. Did you notice too in the Rome scene when the ball's going, and he's trying to race the ball. It hits the gas pumps and blows up, and he drives it sideways and knocks the apron down in front of the people eating outside to block them.
Yep.
I was like, dude, Dom knows it. He's so on it, dude.
Also, the ball never touched a person. It made that whole journey.
He said there was minimal casualties.
It didn't squish
as
one person.
As big as that explosion was, minimum casualties. Like
minimal. Yeah. Nobody really got hurt. Just some light bruises and scratches.
Mm. Yeah.
Where's Mr. Nobody at?
Oh, gosh.
He's in the wind. He's in the wind. Come on, Kurt. What's going on with Kurt
Russell? Come on, Kurt. Get that paycheck, Kurt. Let's go.
Yeah, he's got to be back in the next one, right? They're going to go find him. They got to. Brie Larson's got to go find her dad.
There you go. He'll be in the Hobbs and Shaw part two.
And this was her first movie too, right?
Yeah, it is. Huh?
What was her plan? I'm going to go in. I'm going to stab Letty. I'm going to pretend that she's going to like choke me out. And then Letty's going to wake up in a hospital in Antarctica. Was that the plan?
No, I think she was in Antarctica in the prison. I think she was trying to get her the tracking device, right? Wasn't she trying to get her?
She stabbed her in the chest, right?
Maybe she knew that Cypher was in that same room. It's all part of the plan, peeps. Like, don't think about it too much.
Well, I thought the same thing. They never really. Yeah.
And then Cypher, pressed like two buttons on the ding, 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 ding. And she's like, "What did you do? Oh, I freed us. I set up I rerouted the gas into the room. It's only going to be a matter of time before more people are on us." And then she did something else, all with that.
Are you a computer? Panel. Are you a computer doctor? I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm a computer nurse, so I thought at least I might know a little. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. Convenience, baby.
Dope fight between the two of them. I will say
that's why I like. Just like we got 4 minutes, so let's spend three of it beating each other's ass. Right. For no reason. We best should be getting the fuck out of here, but for no reason.
She's gonna crawl up there just to like, oh snap, and then just to kind of crawl back down. I'm sure on that little shaft and have to get the suits to have to crawl back up again. I don't know. Anyways, shut your brain off, guys. Yeah. Don't think about it.
Exactly. Shut your brain out. Stop overthinking it. That's what we ain't dissecting it here. Have fun. Any other moments you guys want to touch on here?
I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. It was pretty
I thought Jason Momoa's that was the standout. Like that whole scene, not Momoa, my bad. Statham. Kicking the dude awesome in the bag. But
I love that they
that was the
post
credit scene of the last one. Of F9, that was the post-credit scene, was him hitting the bag, and then the doorbell ringing, and it was Han, and he was like, "What?" And you're like, "Oh, it's over." So you're like, "What the hell?" So it was cool that they kind of went back to that scene.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was cool, man. Jason Statham is just so dope, but yeah, those dudes. And I feel bad because all those guys that are getting killed they just work for the same agency that Dom worked for once upon a time. They're just getting murdered by the Fast crew. Yeah, right. Either them or us, right? I guess.
But this is why Ames
don't think about it.
Ames is a bad guy because he's sending.
Yeah, so we should murder everyone that's following his order.
He's sending innocent people to go get killed by the Fast crew.
It's all Ames' fault. Yeah, that's right. You don't get mad at the tiger because people got locked up in the enclosure. You're right.
I was really hoping for a good one-on-one fight with Ames and Vin Diesel. Like that was. I felt like they were setting it up. It was getting ready when he was kind of tracking them down and following them. And it was like, Brazil, he ended up beating up those like four guys in Brazil real fast. And then it was just like, cause I mean, he's awesome, man. Like I'm so happy for him. I mean, like I said, Jack Reacher on Prime Video, like such a great season. He's such a badass. He was Hawk on Titans. And
he was Aquaman here in like the Smallville.
He was Aquaman on Smallville. Yeah. Going way back.
And he was in Hunger Games too.
Oh, wow.
Was he? I don't remember him in Hunger Games.
He was
one of the Ninja Turtles in the last couple.
That's right, Raphael, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, he was Raphael. Yeah,
like so. Film or?
I'm glad he mo-capped him. He did the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, in the movies. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I mean, so he's awesome, and I thought he was great. I liked his character in this. I just thought I wanted to see him whoop some more ass because he's really badass. So I would have liked to have seen that a little bit more. Maybe we'll get that in the next one.
Yeah,
there's got to be a moment, right?
There's got to be a fight. I don't think he's gonna fight Vin though. I think they'll put him up against like Tyrese or.
It's going to be a triple cross, quadruple cross. Tyrese's ass. He's actually a good guy.
Big. Like he could go up against maybe like The Rock now because he's getting like
Yes, there you go.
That would be cool. Have him go up against Hobbs.
He's going against Hobbs. Yep. Yeah, they got the size. Yep. Perfect. And Vin.
So and maybe they'll bring Eva Mendez back with the Hobbs too.
Dude, we haven't seen her since the after credits scene in Fast Five.
It's been a minute.
I believe she retired. I don't think she does any acting anymore.
Oh, okay.
If you think about it, yeah, when's the last time you saw Eva Mendez?
I mean, sure, anything. But if they back up that
pretty
truck,
sure she retired.
They back up that truck full of money and be like, hey,
she's retired.
Come back for one show.
I did. Yeah, I know. They should. They should, man. She goes all the way back to Too Fast, Too Furious. All right, guys. Well, I think that touches on most of it here for overall Fast X spoiler talk. I wanted to do something a little fun for those of you that watch our spoiler reviews for Marvel. We always do our Marvel MCU countdown, and we figured, hey, man, 10 movies. Let's do a little Fast Saga countdown. So, you know, we got 10 films here. We are not including Hobbs and Shaw because it is a spinoff. It is not a part of the main core storyline. Great movie, by the way. There, you know, for those of you that haven't seen Hobbs and Shaw, fun movie. Did you see Hobbs? You saw Hobbs and Shaw, right?
Hell yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. I thought I remember you talking about that movie. One, but I was like, I forgot you hadn't missed so many of the other Fast movies. I wasn't sure anymore.
It's gonna be a fun list.
I know, right? So
yeah, you got now like three that
you have glaring omissions. Yeah. We'll start with Peeps to get his list out the way.
Yeah, you go first.
What you got? Since we won't count 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, no, we won't. I'm pretty sure I saw 2. So 2 is going to be on my bottom because I don't it's so not there that I don't remember anything about it. And so that's 2 is on the bottom of my list. I've only seen 5 of the Fast movies, so that's how my list goes.
So, number 5. So
number 5 would be 2. Number 4 would be the Fast X. Number 4 would be or 3 would be.
You just said 4 was Fast X.
Yeah, 3 would be the first one. 2 would be number 8. I should probably have the name of these movies. Hold on. That would be
Fate of the Furries,
and then on the top was my reintroduction back into these movies, which would be Fast 7 as Tony Jaa. I love Tony Jaa. He was dope. He didn't see a body. He fell down an elevator shaft. Didn't see if he actually hit the bottom. Tony Jaa may come back in the later movies. Is all I'm saying. But yeah, I mean, introduction of Jason Statham, and as I said, I've loved him in all these movies, especially in the Hobbs and Shaw. So yeah, but yeah, that would be my top favorite. Haven't seen 5, haven't seen 6. It sounds like I should at least watch those 2, and then just be good with all.
Especially after watching this one, since the tie is the 5.
Yeah, exactly.
In my mind, that will be the prequel that came out, since I'm going to be watching it after this one.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. And you didn't see Tokyo Drift?
No, I did not see Tokyo Drift. I thought you said all.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. So,
if you were to add Hobbs and Shaw to it, though, where would Hobbs and Shaw fit?
That would probably be like right below 7, maybe. Which was my top one, so it would be like my number 2. Okay. Maybe my number 1, but I remember really liking 7. Like 7 was just silly time. Yeah.
Directed by Justin Lin, by the way, his one and done movie there. All right, Friggins, let's go do the whole top 10. What we got? Right. What we got?
So, admittedly, there are a few that I would actually like to rewatch because I feel like if I rewatch them, I might actually shift. So that would be like The Fate of the Furious, which is number 8, and Furious 7. I feel like I do need to rewatch those. Maybe even Fast and Furious because it's been a minute. But so mine would look like this. At number 10, I'd have Too Fast, Too Furious. I'm copying you there with that one, peeps. That one I did not enjoy whatsoever. Number 9 would be F9. So right in its perfect spot.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Fast X falls in at number 8. Then I have Fast and Furious. So I guess that's the 4th one. At number 7, I have The Fate of the Furious. At 6, I have Furious 7. At 5, I have Tokyo Drift. At 4, That puts the Fast and Furious, the first one, at 3. I have Fast and Furious 6 at 2. And Fast 5, which is by far the best one, at number 1. Had I included Hobbs and Shaw, that would squeeze in my number 4 spot. Shifting everything else down a little bit, but yeah, Fast 5, Fast 6 are, those are the only ones I like care to rewatch. But I admittedly, again, as I said, I do think I do need to rewatch Fear 7 and 8 again. It's been too long.
Okay, I like it. Even though Tokyo Drift is way too high on that list there.
It has the Mustang at the end, I'm telling you.
There's no family in that movie. All right, so coming in number 10, Tokyo Drift. So Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Now, I will say, again, like we talk about the Marvel movies, I actually do like all 10 of these movies. So it's not really as like, I don't hate on Tokyo Drift. I actually like it. It's a guilty pleasure movie, but it is the lowest of the low. So coming in number 9, Too Fast, Too Furious at number 9. Number 8 would be F9, The Fast Saga. So there at number 8. Number 7, The Fate of the Furious. Number 6 is where I put Fast X. So I'd slide that in right there. Number 6. Number 5, Fast and Furious, which is the 4th movie. Number 4, the original, The Fast and the Furious. Number 3, Furious 7. Number 2, Fast and Furious 6. And number 1, Fast 5. So definitely me and Friggins on the same page there with the 1 and 2. And look at that, peeps. Our 1 and 2s are the two movies you haven't seen. So you should get on that one.
Probably watch them.
We don't often match up either, so.
No, we do not.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where I'd slide in Hobbs and Shaw, to be honest. Maybe number 4 or 5, probably right there, kind of in the middle. Love Hobbs and Shaw. That was a 5-star for me. That was a lot of fun. So definitely would love to see a sequel to that, which I thought they were going to do, and that's kind of gone quiet. So I don't know if we'll ever get that, but I think we'll get a piece of it. And Fast X Part 2, or maybe even Fast X Part 3. Who knows, baby? We'll have to wait and see on that one. So, but yeah, guys. Real quick, let's do a star scale on what you guys would rank it. We don't have to go into more details. Just real quick, what do you rank the movie? So, peeps, what you got? The 4 star?
No, I would give this movie 3 stars. I want to give it 3.5 just for like that the great effects and Jason Momoa, but in the end I'm just going to say 3 stars. This is a good movie. I enjoyed it. I didn't feel that, like, you know, I regretted going out and hanging out, and, you know, it was fun. I laughed and like, I'm not going to get into super great details, but in the end I think it was a good movie, and I definitely recommend folks, as we said before, if this is your cup of tea. But unfortunately, there was nothing special that surprised me in this. So nothing that actually kind of take it up past that good ranking. So 3.
Friggins.
I really would have liked to give it a 3, but I have to just split it right down the middle. I'm giving it a 2.5. I can't overlook.
Damn it, Friggins. Stop with the half stars. No fucking half stars. You like this movie. You said you had fun. It doesn't need 2.5.
I did have
that is fun. Just a it's blah fucking right score
down the middle. Like, I can't shift it to the totally crap 3 side of that. I can't.
I don't know what happened. Friggins, we lost Friggins' stream. I don't know what happened. I'm trying to get him back, guys. I don't know.
Every time.
That was nice.
Oh, it just cut me out. Dang,
you okay over there, Friggins?
Oh yeah, there's a thunderstorm over here. It's weird. Dawn's dropping lightning. I think
Dominic Toretto's coming to beat that ass. 2.5 stars.
I heard an engine revving. But yeah, 2.5, right down the middle. I can't go either direction. I had a decent time, so right in the middle. That's the best I could do.
All right. Well, I give it 4 stars. I really, really enjoyed it. Thought it was a ton of fun. It definitely deserves way more than 2.5. I don't know what this guy's talking about. He always wants to know if he's friggin' right or he's friggin' wrong, and he's definitely friggin' wrong.
Thank you for chiming in. Have fun.
You always want to know. I'm going to tell you. So, yeah. So, there you go, man. We got 2.5, 3, and 4. So, We all had fun with it on different levels. But hey, go out, watch it, have a good time, and enjoy yourself. So on that note, we're going to kind of do a little socials here and kind of wrap this baby up. So Friggins, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, when I'm not being a guest here on Am I on the Air for these Am I Still on the Air specials, I sometimes am a guest over with the peeps over on the People's Forum, both of those on reddragonsradio.com. I have recently started an Instagram little thing, Instagram and Twitter. I posted to both, where I do short non-spoiler reviews. They're usually no longer than maybe three and a half minutes, I think was like my longest one. You can check those out on my Instagram and Twitter, which is at Friggins. That's F-R-I-G-G-I-N-Z, Friggins with a Z. And again, let me know if I'm friggin' right or I'm friggin' wrong with the reviews and scores that I drop.
He's mostly friggin' wrong. Check it out and see what you think. All right, peeps, where can people find you?
I'm on the social medias and the Spotify's, the iTunes, the People's Forum. You can, you know, I love talking the nerdy kind of stuff. Marvel, DC, Mandalorian. Let me get that one. And yeah, you know, reddragonsradio.com. You could find all the fun stuff there as well. Let me know if I'm friggin' right or wrong on Twitter for my people at Twitter. So that's my tag along.
Peeping right or peeping wrong?
I don't steal your hey who he that you do. Like,
hey!
About to accidentally fall out too of this little conversation.
You yeah. All right, good. Hey, make sure you guys follow these guys for my peoples and Friggins with a Z. And yes. Make sure you follow the show here at Am I on the Air? Directly here for the show, and then myself directly at DX Don Mega. And let me know if I'm mega right or mega wrong. And we'll, you know, make sure, like I said, we'll be back again next month, really in a couple weeks here to talk at least Flash. If not more, because maybe we'll talk Transformers. If everybody wants to get down and talk that one as well too. Rise of the Beast comes out in just a couple weeks. And then, yeah, I mean, June is a big month. We got Spider-Verse, we got Flash, we got Transformers all in June. So
we better talk Spider-Verse
a bit. So, yeah, so definitely check it out. I see everything else scrolling at the bottom here for all the different socials and everything going on. But this has been our Am I Still on the Air Fast X spoiler review. We hope you've enjoyed yourself and enjoyed taking this ride with us as we've talked about this 10th installment of the Fast franchise. And stay tuned, of course, to Am I on the Air, as we'll keep you posted with everything going on as the sequel starts to ramp up, as we do Fast X Part 2, different castings, who's coming, who's going, different official things over the course of the next 2 years before we get to the new film. So we'll see how that goes. So till then, y'all, take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll see ya next time.
Deuces.
A deuces.
With a Z. Red Dragons!